18. An exception to the rules. They'd gone to seek a land some told them was mythical. From The Way of Kings, Fourth Parable. Adolin and the Azish Emperor left most of the attendants in the antechamber as they joined the meeting. By tradition, Yonagon picked up his own seat and carried it in, and Adolin did the same, grabbing one from outside. Navani and Dalinar liked the symbolism. Inside, Adolin did a quick count of those in attendance and saw he and Yonagon were last. His father and aunt were there, as were Yasna and Queen Fen. A few Radiant representatives, including Sigzil for the Windrunners and Starguile for the Lightweavers, were placing their seats. There were also a couple of the Lesser Kings, or Primes, as they called them, from the Azish Empire. The Mink had come as well, the short Herdazian, who was their key strategist, and possibly, following the fall of his kingdom, Herdaz's ranking Light Eyes, even if he was actually dark-eyed. The meeting was rounded out by three other Alethi High Princes, a group of scribes, and several generals and important leaders, like Prince Kamakal and Nura the Vizier. And, of course, there was Wit, sitting in the corner with a scroll across his lap. Aunt Navani waved, and all the gathered emotions spread in the room flew out to not distract. Adolin closed the door. Maybe he should have greeted his father, whom he hadn't seen in weeks. He glanced toward Dalinar. No. After how they'd parted, they'd do the proper thing. Ignore it and let it fester. Mere seconds after he'd closed the door, there was a knock on it. Adolin peeked, then pulled it all the way open as one of the guards gestured to an older Reshi man wearing a loose robe that showed a powerful chest and a strong build. Adolin thought he was one of the leaders of their islands who had been visiting the tower these last few months. They'd never invited him to any of their meetings. The man didn't ask. He simply picked up a chair and stood outside, waiting with his son, who often wore Thalen clothing. Adolin glanced into the chamber. This man was king to only a few hundred, less powerful in his sphere than a lower Alethi landowner. He was Radiant, the sole dustbringer left in the tower, but not many Radiants got to join the meeting. There was silence for a moment before the Mink spoke.
"We have a saying in Herdaz," he said. "No cousin is so distant they stop being family. A king of a small land is still a king."
"Please enter," Dalinar said, nodding and waving to the Reshi king. "Though I warn you, much of what we discuss might be confusing without prior context."
The man said nothing, carrying his chair and placing it at the back of the room with several of the lesser Azish primes. He sat with a regal air, and honestly, Adolin doubted he spoke much Alethi. His presence seemed symbolic. Adolin closed the door again.
"That's it," Fen said. "Everyone is here. Can we finally begin? My kingdom is facing an entire fleet. Mine," Yonagon said, "is about to be invaded through a portal into the heart of my city, and sooner than yours. The Everstorm can bring the enemy fleet to my city in just a day," Fen said. "We saw that last time."
"Please," Dalinar said. "We will get to everyone's defenses. First, let's establish where our forces currently stand."
"I agree," Fen said. "But I do want to make a point, Dalinar. This is your fault. You should have insisted that the borders freeze the moment the deal was struck."
She was right, of course, but this was how it was with Adolin's father. Dalinar was a great man, yes, but he was confident in his greatness, which led him to assume he could solve any problem himself.
"I'm sorry, Fen," Dalinar said. "I'm doing my best."
"Your best is going to see my kingdom conquered while you protect yours. You practically ensured war these 10 days.
Silence. Eyes condemning.
"This is what you deserve, father," Adolin thought, feeling the room turn, like spears lowered at a captured enemy, against Dalinar.
"You always barrel forward, doing whatever you want. Consequences be storming damned, like you did years ago killing my mother. And you never bothered to tell me. You
did well," Dalinar Corlin, Yonagon said. We agreed to let you stand for us, and you found us a solution. Thank you.
Adolin frowned, looking at the Azish Emperor. His homeland was facing invasion. Why was he so calm?
Because of you, Yonagon continued. We have a chance. The enemy can be reborn again and again. But with the contest, peace is actually possible.
I failed you in the short term, Dalinar said. Armies are coming for your homeland.
As they were 3 days ago, Yonagon said, and the weeks before that. All that has changed is that you have ensured there is an end in sight. Yes, the contract could have been a little better, but I think every Azish person in this room can admit that even with important documents, you always miss something.
Well, that's storming true, Sigzil said, laughing.
You're right, Yonagon, Fenn said with a grumble. Dalinar, I was too harsh. We did agree to let you make the decision, and you did all you could. I shouldn't grouse about what could have been, but my homeland only just started to recover from the last attack.
We merely need to hold out, Fenn, Yonagon said, for 8 more days. Then we have peace.
Storms. With that, the tone of the room changed again. Or perhaps Adolin hadn't been reading it correctly in the first place. People nodded. Fenn sat up a little straighter, and Dalinar? Dalinar met Yonagon's eyes, then bowed his head in a sign of respect and thanks. When had the young emperor learned such maturity? Or perhaps Adolin should be wondering why he hadn't learned the same.
Very well, Dalinar said. Let's discuss our positions. Stargyle, you up to making a map with me?
Yes, sir, the Lightweaver said. After the last few weeks of practice, I think I can manage it.
Good, Dalinar said. We'll begin in Emul with—
Holy hell, a voice said from the corner. Adolin frowned, trying to figure out those words and how they fit together. The group parted, revealing Wit, sitting in the corner, holding that paper and what looked like a bone.
It's not possible, Wit said louder.
Adolin glanced toward Yasna, who shook her head as confused as he was.
I'm an idiot, Wit said.
Wit? Dalinar asked. Are you—
Wit leapt to his feet.
I'm an absolute fool. The most awe-inspiring, spectacular example of idiocy this side of the Cosmere. So grand I should be immortalized in song, the type that drunk men sing before they puke, mixing the rancid contents of their poisoned stomachs with my name.
Wit, Dalinar said firmly, explain yourself.
Well, that seemed like an invitation for mockery. Adolin braced himself, but when Wit spoke, his voice was serious.
There are loopholes in this agreement, Wit explained. I'm sorry. I failed you all. I was supposed to shepherd the process of creating this contract. I could have seen exactly where these attacks would land if I'd been more keen-eyed.
He said it solemnly, quietly. What could make Wit be so normal?
How could you have guessed they'd strike at Thelen City? Fenn asked.
Because it's in this agreement, Wit said. Blatant as my own nose. As you all know, Dalinar was forced a little off script in creating this 3 days ago.
Odium insisted he couldn't accept the deal as presented, Dalinar said to the room, because he can no longer keep the fused imprisoned.
Locking them away is no longer viable, Wit agreed, with the Oath Pact broken and the Everstorm in place. Regardless, Dalinar going off script led to this situation, where the enemy has one last chance to grab lands.
Which is why we've been expecting an attack on the borders in strategically valuable places, the Minx said, standing beside Dalinar. If they expand the size of Alethkar, for example, but then we win it back, well, their attack was wasted. So we assumed some encroachment from Yarkoved on the Frostlands, or maybe another push into Emul or Tashik. Key is that Alethkar and Herdaz are ours forever, if Dalinar wins.
The Herdazian looked to Dalinar and nodded in respect. Adolin hadn't heard all the details of the contract, but he'd been told that Dalinar had specifically singled out Herdaz for freedom, the mark of a promise kept. Dalinar nodded back. Adolin's father was standing, because of course he'd forgotten to bring his chair. Despite the grand philosophies he espoused, Dalinar was always an exception to the rules, even his own. Storms, Adolin thought, acknowledging the bitterness lacing his thoughts. I'm really, really letting this go too far. He knew it, but he couldn't stop it.
The Mink is right, Dalinar said. Whatever happens, Odium keeps the lands that surrendered to him, such as Eerie, Yakaved, and Marat. We keep whatever we hold when the deadline arrives. Strikes against Thalen City and Azamir are not completely outrageous, but they don't seem a smart choice. Why risk everything on capturing our strongholds when it's much more possible to grab land at the perimeter?
Because, Wit whispered, if he takes the capitals, he gets the kingdoms. In their entirety.
Wait, Yanagon said. What did you say?
I realized earlier that I might have missed something, Wit said, so I sent a request to one of the best contract negotiators I know. Frost. Tall fellow, big as a house, actually. Sharp teeth, fondness for chastising me, which shows he has good judgment. He refused to help, as he insists he will not intervene, but his sister is as smart as he is, and she listened. I read her the contract, and she needed access to the Alethi legal code. That's what I've been doing for these past hours. Reading her laws, talking her through it, asking for her explanations.
And you did this right here? Navani asked. How?
Wit held up the little bone as if that explained everything.
The general idea is this. In Dalinar's negotiations, he argued for the return of Alethkar and Herdaz. Entire kingdoms. Then he agreed to Odium's request. Odium can try for entire kingdoms with his attacks. By Alethi law, this means that he has to capture their seat of power. So
he throws everything he has at Izamir, Yanagon whispered. Because if he can take it, he claims the kingdom. That's what you're saying?
Unfortunately, yes, Wit said. Oh, damnation, Adolin thought. The room fell silent.
He promised me, Dalinar whispered, that there would be no taking advantage of loopholes, that he would hold to the spirit of the contest. You had to dig through the Alethi legal code for hours to find this. It sounds a lot like a loophole to me.
Yes, Wit said, and that's why I'm an idiot. Not because I miss the intricacies of the legal code, but because this isn't something that Raze could ever do. It's not only against his nature, it's something he promised he would not do. Even without a formal covenant, a god cannot break that kind of promise without dire consequences.
So what? Dalinar said. I'm missing something.
As are we all, Wit said with a sigh. Odium is exploiting a loophole in your agreement. Raze wouldn't do that. Raze couldn't do that. So,
he looked around the room, meeting their eyes.
So we are not facing Raze. My old enemy must be dead, and someone else has taken up the shard of Odium. I should have seen it the moment he started acting so oddly, but now I've confirmed it by sensing the rhythms of Roshar. My friends, we are facing an enemy we do not know and cannot anticipate. And whoever it is, they're a genius. One who has devised a ploy to conquer all of Roshar in 10 days.
All right, Shaub said, huddling in an alcove with Shallan and Gaz up on the third floor. Look at these. Shallan and Gaz had taken different faces, all three of them now appearing like Herdazian workers. Gaz had a real spark flicker on his finger, with some flint to fake working it. Shaw blew his nose, then set out some pages for them on the ground. It was quieter here, with less traffic, though sound still echoed up through the nearby atrium.
I was watching the atrium region, Shab said. Like you said, I spotted someone spying on Dalinar as he talked to some Makabaki woman. The ghost blood was this one here.
Shallan took the page, a sketch of a short Alethi or Vaden woman Hoyd had identified as a ghost blood, but not one Shallan had ever met. At the bottom he'd written, former actor, recruited recently. Actor, eh? She supposed that wasn't an unusual recruitment tactic for a secretive organization.
You set a tail on her? Shallan
asked.
Darcyra is following right now, Shab said, rubbing his nose again.
The man was always bemoaning some ailment or another, none of which were ever as debilitating as he thought. He was good at his job, though. This was a solid lead. The ghost bloods regularly set up, then abandoned, bases. They were also fantastically good at losing tails. But a new recruit? This seemed a weak point. Shab leaned back, complaining about his stomach, while Shallan looked over the sketch once more, noting the woman's tattoo peeking out through her freehand sleeve. Hoyd's sketches were excellent. Shallan rubbed her wrist, where she'd refused to get one of those same tattoos. She flipped through the sketches and pulled out the picture of Marais, tall and distinguished, scarred and proud of it. She didn't hate him. For all his threats and manipulations, he was too complex a man to be hated. She felt frustration mixed with envy, accompanied by a bitter sadness about what could perhaps have been. She would have to kill him, as she'd killed Tin, as she'd killed her father, but she would not enjoy it. The next sketch was Iyatl in her mask. Even the sketch of her was shadowed, and Hoyd noted he didn't catch sight of her often. The next two pictures were those masked newcomers, assassins brought in from Iyatl's homeland, wearing wooden masks painted in a way that made them feel featureless. Just shapes and lines, not people, except for those eyes staring out, and the mouths barely exposed at the bottom. As she was studying those pictures, a soldier strolled past and glanced at Shallan's group. Gaz casually held up one of the pages to be more visible, but it suddenly depicted a busty woman in a state of complete undress. Shallan blushed, drawing a shame spren despite herself. The soldier chuckled and moved on.
Gaz, she hissed.
What? He said. You have a better way to explain a bunch of street sweepers gathered around some papers?
Where did you even get that image?
Drew it myself, he said with a grunt. You said we should take them art lessons. Got to get the musculature right to learn proper light weaving.
I know that, she said, recalling some experiences in her youth.
She shooed away that shame spren in the shape of a red flower petal.
But my models were never quite so... I think something's wrong with my heart,
Shab said from beside them, lying on his back now, eyes closed.
I think it stopped beating. Can't feel it. Is that normal?
Shallan didn't give it much thought. Shab was merely being his usual overdramatic self. Gaz shook the page, so the image vanished, returning to a depiction of a ghost blood.
You want me to invite you next time we do a drawing session? Storms, no,
Shallan said, still blushing.
You're not supposed to stare at models. It's unprofessional. I don't think those ladies and fellows mind,
Shab said,
on account of their other jobs.
Storms. Well, she did need anatomy practice. She put that out of her head as Shab groaned and sat up, then wagged a blinking span reed with a message from Darcyra. They counted out the blinks silently, interpreting the message. New ghost bloods hideout found.
Narok, I watch. Narok,
Gaz said softly.
Why so far away?
The tower is awake now, Shallan said. Perhaps the sibling could locate them for us if they were closer.
Should we hit them with a strike team?
Gaz asked.
Gather some troops? Put some windrunners to good use for once?
We should gather one, Shallan said. Adolin should have gotten us permission, but striking won't do much good, unless we know Marais and Eotl are inside. Plus, like I said earlier, we need to find out what they're planning.
Which means, Gaz said.
We'll use a strike team, yes, Shallan said, but we're going to sneak in first. Gaz nodded and collected the pictures, then headed out. Shab was lying down again. Shallan had always found his antics ridiculous, but today she hesitated, then tapped him on the foot while he looked up at the ceiling. Hey, she said softly. Hey, you all right?
I know I probably am,
he replied.
I know it's just in my head, all these things I feel. So, yeah, I suppose it ain't real.
Shallan suddenly felt guilty. She'd dismissed his attitude as silly earlier. How many would call what she dealt with silly? Hey, she said, feeling real is enough. The things in our heads can be some of the most important things in our lives. Love is in our heads, confidence, integrity, all things we make up, but they're still very important. He sat up.
And me feeling sick all the time? Is that good? Like love or integrity?
Probably not, she said. But it being in your head doesn't mean we should ignore it. You need any help? He cocked his head, illusion covering his face, but his eyes, his expressions, showed his true self.
Nobody's ever asked me that, you know? In years, nobody's asked me that? Yeah, I think I could use some help.
He hesitated.
But I don't know. Sometimes, when people listen to me, it gets worse. I just start thinking of more things wrong, then ask for more and more sympathy, till I hate myself, and everyone hates me.
Ignoring the problem isn't the solution, though, Shallan said. Trust me. When we're done with all this, let's see if we can find someone who can help. There has to be an Ardent or a surgeon or someone.
Okay,
he said, rising.
I think I just felt a heartbeat, so maybe I will survive long enough.
He glanced at her, then paused.
I say exaggerations of what I feel like that because they're funny. Makes people think I'm joking. So they don't hate me, you know?
She took his hand, squeezed it, and nodded.
You still want me watching here?
He asked. She nodded again. Thanks for spotting that ghost blood, but I want another set of eyes on that meeting up above, outside, in the room with the guards, listening to what they're chattering about. Shab was excellent at that kind of information gathering, but his skill set wasn't aligned with attacking enemies, as she was planning to try next.
Then I'd better find a lift up,
he said. Then he glanced at her.
You pay better attention now. What happened on that trip?
I found a few pieces of myself, she said, that I'd lost.